Good morning and welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to have back here on the show Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. And every month here on a Tuesday, she stops by and we talk about things that grow around the home landscape. The idea is that if you have a problem or maybe you're looking for some suggestion, she can help you out. And we've talked about just about anything that grows in the landscape, trees and shrubs, flowering plants, grass, stuff you can eat, you know, usual stuff, and houseplants as well. And for a while, we actually stopped doing the show in the winter, even though Sandy said she was perfectly willing to come year-round. And then one year, I just decided, well, I didn't want to go that long without seeing her. So
you gave in.
So I gave in. And now she is here year-round, and we're always really pleased to see her. So that's the deal. If you have a question, all you have to do is call in. And again, it could be something like maybe there's some sort of problem that you had in this past growing season that you're still not quite sure what to do with. Maybe you're already thinking about what you want to plant next year. That any of all that kind of stuff is certainly fine. And houseplant questions are good too. Any and all questions are certainly welcome. The number, if you're here in Champaign-Urbana, where we are, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, and that one is good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. Well, thanks for being here again.
Sure, sure.
I'm sure the plants are very confused. They must be.
I'm confused.
Because if you're, first of all, okay, we have this very period of warmer than average weather, and then we have colder than average weather, and now we're back to warmer than average weather, and it sounds like at least through the weekend, we're looking at temperatures in the upper 40s or 50s, certainly not typical for this time of year. That's, I guess, probably most people would say that's okay with them. Is there any, I guess I wonder if there's any chance that there are plants that because of the warmer temperatures will think, oh, it's spring, let's go, and then that will actually maybe put out new growth, that then when we get back to normal temperatures, we're going to have a problem.
It really is one of those things that probably the biggest thing is, you know, with this kind of back and forth, it's just the plants are much better off if they're dormant, as in fully dormant. They get cold, they go dormant, and then once they're dormant, they're able to tolerate some pretty cold temperatures. You know, a lot of the plants can. But if they're not fully dormant, those same temperatures that they could have survived well, if they were fully dormant, then they don't survive very well, if that makes any sense. So, in other words, if they're not fully dormant, temperatures maybe that we don't consider maybe all that terribly cold might actually do some damage on them where normally it wouldn't be a problem. So mm-hmm. I think for a lot of the plants, maybe they are a little bit confused on the amount of dormancy. And for a lot of the plants, especially in our area where many of the plants that need some sort of cold period in order to go ahead and break bud, it's cold enough. It doesn't have to be super cold. It's cold enough that they could go ahead and get that requirement and then pop out too early, just what you're saying. So I think it's one of those things that the problem is there really isn't a whole lot we can do about it when it comes to those things. There might be some things that you could do maybe with, you know, if you have in a particularly windy spot, something like that, where maybe you could protect like rhododendrons and some of those kind of things, maybe with either burlap or something. There's also some anti-desiccants that keep the plants from losing too much moisture at any one time through wind. So there are a few things maybe we can do, but unfortunately, we're just kind of at the mercy.
Well, I guess you just cross your fingers and hope that it'll be okay. And maybe if there is some damage, then it'll be okay. It'll come around to getting on the right schedule that it's supposed to be in. And maybe then by the spring, things should be okay.
And for gardeners, a dead plant is just a shopping opportunity. we're sad for about, you know, 5 minutes. And then we think, ooh, I could put another plant
there. I got a few of those myself. I have a poor little rhododendron that I don't know if it was the wrong spot for it, if I didn't talk nice enough to it. But after a couple of years, it's dead. So something, I have at least one spot like that. So yeah, I guess that's right.
And there are some plants, especially things like rhododendrons and blueberries and some of those that are really a little finicky, even like flowering dogwood and stuff, a little finicky on where they are, that kind of thing, and where they sort of just hang on and don't really thrive. And this kind of on and off stuff might be enough that kind of, you know, really puts them in a little extra stress that they don't need at this point.
All right. Well, we have callers. In fact, the lines are all full, so we'll get right down to it. And we will start with the caller in Champaign, line number 1. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, late in the summer, there were all these trees all around town, those beautifully flowering trees, relatively small, in various pinks and purples, and I didn't know what they were, but I'd like one.
And it was, you say it was late season?
Yeah, it was like September, late August in September. I mean, they were still blooming then. They had bloomed late. And they were everywhere. I'd never seen them or never noticed them before. Maybe it was just a really good year, but...
And they were trees?
Yeah,
as
well,
in how big?
Or they were really big bushes. They were shaped like trees. They were kind of triangular shaped. But they had, you know, trunks and branches, and they were trees.
And it was late in September.
They were in August and beginning of September. I just know because I was back to work, and there were pinks and purples, and I think there might have been a few white ones every now and then, too, but they were really scattered all over.
They wouldn't be in, like, butterfly bushes or something along those lines? Do you know what those are?
No, I don't know what those are.
Because they get kind of big. They look like kind of a big shrub, but they're certainly in whites. You know, we have pinks, purples, dark blue, kind of a dark purple blue.
Do the flowers go all the way down to the ground?
Do they go all the way down, as in does the bush flower
yeah.
all the way down? Often they do. It's kind of a spiky.
These were more of a tree where they had a trunk, and then at the top they branched out.
Wow.
I think you've stumped there.
Sorry.
I have to think about that, or maybe someone who's listening can think of that. I just can't think of any tree. You know, most of our trees just are pretty early blooming,
right?
Or
yeah,
even
that's
some
why
of the
I really like these.
Yeah, and some of the later blooming ones that I think of actually bloom. They're yellow. I don't know of any other than that bloom.
It's relatively small. I mean, it wasn't a huge tree, but I would say it was a tree.
Does the flower look like a spike kind of thing, or what does a flower look like?
That would be a question I should answer. But all I know is I'm driving down the road and I see these really pretty trees.
Okay, so it doesn't look like a daisy, or I'm trying to think of the shape, and that might help immensely.
Well, it's kind of a foolish shape, you know. I mean, it's
like
a
spike.
Call it a spike.
Almost like a lilac or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, because that's butterfly bushes kind of look like that, and they certainly bloom late or into the later part of the season. And certainly have those colors. That's the only thing I can think of right now that would kind of fit that bill. But maybe somebody else, or maybe it'll suddenly dawn on me. It'll probably dawn on me about 2 o'clock tomorrow morning or something, and I'll call you.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the call. Well, and certainly if somebody else is listening and they're thinking, oh, well, I know what that is. Call in and tell us what you. Because I certainly can't think of any tree that flowers that late. I think that all the flowering trees pretty much are going to flower early in the spring and not in the end of August or the early part of September.
Mm-hmm. I just can't even think of any shrubs that really bloom. There's certainly some perennials, but butterfly bush is the only one that I can think of that's kind of more of a shrubby thing. There's a blue spirea kind of a thing, Caryopteris, but it only comes in blue and I think white. It doesn't come in pinks and stuff.
Okay. Well, so, if somebody has an idea, they can give us a call. Butterfly bushes are really, they're a nice plant because they, for people who want to actually attract butterflies, that's why they call it that.
Yeah.
Because it will do that. And if you'd like to see some more butterflies in your garden, that is one thing that you can do.
And they bloom a long time. Once it starts to warm up, they'll bloom certainly into August, into September, and have a nice selection of flower colors.
Okay. A caller called in and said maybe that's either a rose of Sharon or an hibiscus. Could it be?
Oh, very good. We should have a prize for that person who calls in, because there are rose of Sharon is really kind of a type of hibiscus. Sometimes it's called hibiscus, and it certainly has, and it often can be. Actually, that's a very good answer because I'll bet that's probably true because they do come in whites and kind of pinks and purples. Sometimes they are limbed up almost like a tree. A lot of times people have more like a shrub. But good thought. Hopefully, the person who called in earlier.
Still listening. All right. Well, think about that. Either
Do we have a gift for them? Maybe we should.
Or a buzzer.
A
second caller. Somebody else has called in and said could be Rose of Sharon or possibly Crepe Myrtle. How do you like that?
Yeah. Crepe Myrtle doesn't get very big around here, though, anything. I'm going with the Rose of Sharon.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen,
what is
final
Rose
answer?
Of Sharon?
Please state your answer in the form of a question. All right. Well, now, I hope that that helps. Let's go next, and we'll talk with somebody in Urbana. This would be line number two. Hello.
Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
Yeah, Rose of Sharon. I agree.
I think we've all decided that's what it is. That's good. That's very
consensus
good.
Opinion. Rose of Sharon. All right.
Now I did something kind of stupid here. I've got a rose bush, and I brought it in off the porch. It's a Yumini, and I brought it in. It was in a 5-gallon container, and it's starting to turn yellow on me. Would this be a good time to plant that outside? Yucamini, excuse me. Small miracle Yucamini.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Now the ground is soft. I could possibly get it back outside. But I realize that with the cold weather, you know, the roots will simply not withstand. So, anyway, have I done the wrong thing? I probably have.
Well, I think with roses and actually a lot of the woody plants, they do need a cold period. It really is better for them to go through some of a cold period. So you're right in thinking that they do need to go through some cold time. And it is better off if you get them out of the pot. It's just so hard when they're in those really small pots. It freezes and thaws and freezes and thaws, and it's very hard on the roots. So again, you're right in trying to get it maybe. And I personally would go ahead and plant it, even if I had an area where I didn't necessarily want to leave it there. You know, I've had people even just, you know, put them in a mulch pile, something to sort of help protect them and help protect the roots until next spring or
maybe you can move it at that time.
Right. I'd be very careful with making sure you cover it with like chicken wire or something for rabbit control.
Yeah, it had a serious attack of Japanese beetles late spring, early summer, but it survived. And the leaves are still green, but some of them are yellowing up, maybe 5% of them. But you think I should get it outside? I'll do it today.
I would. I mean, especially since we've had this little bit of a break here where it's not quite so super cold. But I think I'd probably put some chicken wire around it and maybe put a few leaves and stuff around it and then go for it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Very good. Thanks for the call. Let's go on here to somebody else. And the next caller would be in Normal, line number four. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have some rosemary I brought in, and now it's getting kind of a fuzzy stuff on it. You know, what is that, and what should I do about it?
Yes, it's probably powdery mildew.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. There are a couple of things. Sometimes if you can just, I don't know where you have it right now, but sometimes if you can just sort of, you know, wash it off and then get it in an area where it has maybe better air circulation.
Hmm. Okay.
Sometimes that's enough that sort of helps to take care of it. If it's just on a few leaves, I'd get those leaves out of there. Sometimes that helps. Or you may find you really do need to go ahead and use one of the fungicides on it. And that might be something. You might want to try one of them. There's one called Remedy, and it's actually a baking soda type product, so it's really safe stuff.
Remedy?
Yeah, it's called Remedy. And that one, I've had pretty good luck on that with for powdery mildew.
Okay.
But it'd definitely be one of those things that I would really, I don't know if you're planning on eating this or not. Sometime this winter. I read the label. I think it has a pretty good label on edible crops, but definitely read the label. There may be a waiting period between when you spray it and when you're able to eat it.
Okay.
So that would be one thing.
All right. And that can kind of travel to my other rosemaries, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it'll actually also get on African violets can get it, and there's a few other plants that can get it in the wintertime as well. So if you can increase any air circulation, it's good. If you can increase, I don't know where you've got it, even sometimes being able to have more light on them so they're growing more. You know, rosemary is really one of those kind of finicky things. They like it to be kind of cool. They like sun, but they like it to be kind of cool in the wintertime.
Well,
so sometimes it's kind of tough to get them through the winter.
I have plenty of sun, and it's always a cool room.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
And I do pretty well, but the last couple of times it's had powdery mildew.
Yeah. If you can
it has it on it when it's outside, and then I bring it in?
Right, more than likely. If you can even have something like a small fan on it periodically, sometimes that's enough to help. But it's common for them to get powdery mildew.
Oh.
So, at least inside.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. Thanks for the call. It is really nice to have, for cooking, it's really nice to have fresh herbs growing inside so you can use them. I think my experience is that a lot of these things, the woody plants, things like thyme or rosemary, they're also really, it's the air inside our homes in the wintertime is really dry, and they're not happy about that. They don't like it. Are there particular varieties that seem to do better if you're trying to grow them inside and keep them over the winter? Or is it just that it doesn't matter what kind you have, it just doesn't, it's not really going to be all that happy with the kind of conditions that we have in the house in the wintertime?
Yeah, I'm not sure I've ever seen that where they've listed where some would do better indoors as opposed to other ones. There's certainly some that are listed to be supposedly more hardy outdoors, but even those I've found don't seem to be that hardy outdoors. They still seem to succumb with our winters, at least. So I think probably the biggest thing is just get really some that you like. And what Chuck Voigt over at the University of Illinois used to always say, smell it. And if you like the way it smells, you're probably going to like the way it tastes because the rosemaries do taste differently. So that would be one thing. I just find one like that. And then they like it, the cooler, the better. If you really had a room that was like 55, 60 degrees, that'd be wonderful. I know that's pretty cool for us, but certainly try to keep them in a cool spot, bright light. Don't let them dry out too much. That's probably the other big thing. They don't like to be overwatered, but don't let them dry out too much. And then if you can put like a pebble tray, a tray that's kind of got pebbles and stuff in it, and then keep water in that to try to help raise the humidity at least around the plant. Sometimes that helps a little bit too. So some of those things. And it's one of those things, rosemary, once you find out kind of those little idiosyncrasies and you find a good spot in your house, then you're fine. But don't be too upset if you kill a few in the process.
Okay.
But then you just eat them.
Oh, well, there's that.
And you just eat them when they die.
All right. Sandy Mason's our guest. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. Once a month on Tuesday, she's here. We talk about things that grow and around the home landscape. And if you have a question or you have a problem, give us a call. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Next caller is in Champaign and line 3. Hello.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of issues. I've got some bulbs that were in a planter, we bought in the spring. They did really well, and we, of course, put them away, let them go dormant. And then, of course, we meant to plant them before it got really cold. But now I'm wondering, can we still plant them now that it's warmed up a little bit more?
I would go ahead and plant them.
Okay, and they did start to sprout a little because of there was that really warm spell, and we noticed a little green coming up. Do we have to put them in the fridge or anything like that to help them get back into the dormant state, or will that just happen?
Yeah, that'll just happen, and we have enough winter left that they'll still be able to go through the dormant period and be just fine. Now, don't be surprised. Of course, you're probably going to plant them a little deeper than what they were in the pot,
exactly.
I'm guessing. So that may cover up some of the green stuff anyway.
Okay. Well, at least I'll know which end goes up.
Good point. Green side up.
And the other issue is, as the gentleman about the rose bush was talking about, we have a lilac that we left in the 5-gallon pail, and it actually looked really nice and green over this summer, and I know we just have to get it in the ground. We were thinking of a spot that is kind of a little wet because runoff goes there from the gutter, and until we get some total landscape changes done, we're probably not going to be able to do anything for now. Would the lilac going in there, do you think it'll do okay, or does it need a little bit more dryness?
Yeah, I think you might have trouble with them. They're not all that terribly excited about being in really wet areas.
Okay.
So I think I'd put it in some spot, or if I don't know what the spot looks like, but if there's some way you can actually even plant it up a little bit where it actually is kind of on, sometimes it's just a mound where it's just a couple inches, where the crown is just a couple inches above.
Okay.
Sometimes that's enough to sort of get away with it. You'd probably be better off to find some nice sunny spot where, it's getting more moisture, but not too.
There's a really nice sunny spot there. The only thing is when it rains, it kind of gets really, really wet. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I think you'd be better off going with a plant that likes that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, we have in that area, we have spirea and we have some Japanese wedding. I think they call it Japanese wedding shrub. It has nice little flowers that look like little wedding bells. And those have seem to thrive just fine in that area. Mm-hmm. But we were like, we wanted something a little bit more with height. And so we thought about the lilac there. Is there something else we might be able to consider?
Well, and it gets sun, right? You said
yeah, it gets okay. a lot of sun. It's kind of facing southwest.
Well, there is, I don't know if you're familiar with the summer sweet clethra. Sometimes people call clethra.
Plethora?
Clethra. It's C-L-E-T-H-R-A, clethra.
C-L-E-T-H-R-A.
And it has kind of a spiky flower that's fragrant. And you can get them, depending on which ones that you get, they can certainly get up to maybe 4.5, 5 feet. It's got a spike flower. It's not quite as thick as what you're going to see with lilacs.
Okay.
Something maybe it's a little bit more moundy, but kind of really kind of likes wet areas is our Itea's, and it's I-T-E-A.
Hmm. Okay.
And those are have really nice fall color, and they do have white flowers. They're more of a mounding habit than more upright. So I don't know whether you'd like that or not.
Okay, but it would be more rounded off like a mound, or
yeah, the whole shrub has more of a rounded okay. kind of habit to it. It's not that upright thing like we see with lilac. So you may or may not like
well,
that.
But
it's a great plant.
Well, the other things we thought about, because the lilac is a little slow to grow, was maybe a Japanese maple tree.
Yeah, they don't like wet areas.
They don't like wet areas.
Yeah, yeah. Even less so than lilacs. I mean, I don't know. If the spiree is doing okay, then,
yeah.
you know, it might be okay with a lilac.
Okay.
But I definitely do the little where you just mound it up just a little bit where the crown is just a couple inches off. That. And I'm using my hands, of course, so I'm sure you can tell
can
exactly
it,
what I'm
yeah.
doing right now. David can tell what I'm doing. Anyway, just so it's a few inches, so the crown's a few inches off
okay,
the soil
so
line.
It can drain better.
Yeah, and a lot of times if just that crown is dry, that's enough for a lot of the plants. Then they're like, okay.
Okay.
But it wouldn't be an ideal situation, and probably the sooner the better is if you are going to be doing some of their landscaping,
well, that's what,
change
I mean,
the drainage.
Course, yeah, we were trying to get everything in early November, but then it got really cold for a while,
right.
and then we
right.
thought, well, maybe we missed the opportunity, but now it looks like it's going to be kind of warm this week, so we may still have a chance, and with the rain, the ground is nice and soft,
right.
and we can actually get stuff in there.
Right, but any way you look at it, if you've got plants in pots, if people sell plants in pots, you got to
get them out
of the pots, or at least sink the pot into mulch or something to help
okay.
protect that that
okay.
soil balm.
Okay, great.
Good
All
luck.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For the call. We'll go on here next to someone in Urbana. The next is line one right here. Hello.
Hi there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about a tree, too. The city planted this tree in our parkway, I guess it's called, and I don't know what kind it is. I'd like to know what the name of it is, and also I'm wondering if I can prune it because there's some branches that are interfering with doors that open, car doors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what the trunk of it looks a little bit like some kind of a birch in that it's got little white hash marks across it, horizontal. But then it flowers with a real ivory-colored flower that looks kind of like a rangy, long-legged lilac.
Oh, well, it's probably a Japanese tree lilac would be my guess.
Oh, it's called a Japanese
tree lilac?
Tree lilac.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, can I lop off a few branches?
I would, since that's a city tree, you really need to talk to your city arborist first.
Oh.
And really they found, I know a lot of times people look at city trees and they think they're limbed too low, but they really have found over time that it's best if they leave some of those lower limbs on a while. We don't want to be too anxious to remove
uh-huh.
limbs.
Well, the tree's actually been here for 2 or 3 years. It
right.
didn't bloom the first couple of years, and now it does bloom. I think it's bloomed 2 seasons.
Oh, okay.
It's not brand new planted.
So when you open the car door or something, then it's
yeah,
getting...
Yeah, if the car pulls up in front of the house and
okay.
opens the car door, it runs into the branches.
Okay. Well, I would contact your city arborist.
Uh-huh.
I know, what city do you live in?
Urbana.
That'd be Mike Brunk.
Okay.
And I'm nice guy to work with. I'm sure if you give him a call, he'll either
yeah.
give you some instructions or let you know, or they can come out and do it themselves if they have time, that kind of thing.
All right. Thanks so much.
Sure.
Japanese tree lilac.
Uh-huh.
Thank
Great.
You.
Nice
All
trees.
Right,
very good.
Bye-bye.
And let's go to another call here. This is also Urbana, line number 2. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm. Morning.
I'm the garlic mustard person.
Any new recipes?
You can find them on the web, actually. But I just walked outside while I was waiting to call in and just to check on the garlic mustard that has the nerve to be growing in my yard and the neighbor's yard right next to me in some kind of derelict spaces. And I wanted to just tell people that it is, if you're not sure what it looks like, it's green now. And it's
right.
And I picked some leaves just for some comparison, and I found one that is bigger across than the palm of my hand by about 2 inches.
It's happy there.
Yeah, it certainly is. And but there were some other ones that were more the size of the leaves of Creeping Charlie. And I guess people who don't know what it looks like might think that the little leaves look kind of like Creeping Charlie, but it doesn't creep. It's all the you don't find runners of garlic mustard. It spreads by tons and tons of seeds.
Yeah,
so if anybody thinks that they might have it in their yard and want to distinguish it from Creeping Charlie and violets, now is the time to go out and look, because I think the violets have all been killed by the frost. But the garlic mustard is pretty impervious to the level of freezing we've had so far. And it starts sending, and it has basal leaves really early in the spring. So I just thought I would mention that to folks. It looks kind of like a violet leaf, kind of apple green in color, and it's got lots of the surface of it is really corrugated. So there's the garlic mustard alert for today.
Okay, thanks.
And you thought you were safe until the springtime.
Well, okay. Some people would say at least it's green, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is pretty obvious right now.
Well, thanks for the call. Uh-huh. The questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Our guest is Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. Once a month, she's here on the program. We talk about gardening and things that grow in the home landscape. So if you have a question, give us a call. Again, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Anything coming up in the way of events that you might want to mention?
Sure. Actually, I know it seems like it's really a long way off, but it's not. We have our Garden Day. We do Garden Day every other year, and so 2007 is our year to do Garden Day, and it's going to be March 2nd and 3rd, and that's the time of year where we actually bring in speakers from all across the nation, and Janet Makunovich, I think, is going to be on the program with us, with you and I, in February. So people want to make sure that they tune in for that. So Janet Makunovich is going to be at Garden Day. She's one of those people that has just done a wonderful job of, she takes the mystery out of design and gardening. She just makes it seem, oh yeah, that's right. She really is great, but she's written a couple books on designing gardens and landscapes and taking care of perennials. So that's going to be March 2nd and 3rd at the Holiday Inn, and people can contact the Champaign County Extension office at 217-333-7672 or go to our website, and we'll be glad to give more info on that. So something to look forward to, you know?
Okay,
March is not that far away.
Well,
really?
Yes, actually, it's really not that far away. When you think
spring.
About it, yeah. It'll be here before you know it.
Spring.
How about that? Okay.
I know. We're already thinking about it.
We have other questions here. Urbana's next. Line one.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi. This is just for the lady who called about having the city trim a tree in her parkway. We had the same experience, and I want to say the Urbana arborist is simply wonderful. We weren't sure we'd be home when he was going to come, so we left a little tag on each of the branches we were concerned with, and he did exactly what we hoped he would do. So I encourage her to feel good about it.
Well, good. Thank you for saying that, and I agree.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, thank you. And certainly it is, I think that it is true, really. Even if you think that the tree is encroaching on your property, if it is a city tree, really, you probably shouldn't be trimming on that yourself. You should call them and say, look, here's the concern, and could you get that taken care of?
And there are reasons, as I said, there are reasons sometimes where they leave the lower branches on longer than what we might think of. We might look at it and say, oh, that's going to be too short. It's, you know, things are going to be a problem in years to come. Well, there are reasons why things get done the way they do. So.
Yeah. All right. Next caller is in Muhammad, line two.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could offer a Christmas gift suggestion for the favorite master gardener in our life.
Do you know what kind of interests they have? Or just anything? Huh?
Probably anything. Okay. She is in McLean County and just has been a master gardener for a year. And so it's really, she's on a farm and doing a lot of yard work now and changing the whole landscape. So probably anything, but I thought maybe there were some new gadgets or new things that you'd seen.
Well, there's a few things. I mean, tool-wise, of course, you may already have some of this, but I think tool-wise, everybody needs a good set of pruners, hand pruners.
Uh-huh.
And there's really some nice ones out there. Falco makes nice ones, and Corona, and I think even Fiskars have kind of gotten into that. But there's some very nice ones, and they have ones that you know, are for left-handies. They're for ones that maybe people have a hard time maybe with how much strength they have in their hands. So they have some that have some special gears on them. So there's some very specialized hand tools now, which is just great.
Can you find Falco in the stores, or are those only online?
No, you can find. I've seen it at some garden centers around here. They've started to handle Falcos.
Okay, great.
So those are really nice and just not too terribly expensive. Some other things that I like are there are some what are called shaping shears.
Oh.
And they look like giant scissors almost.
Okay.
But they're excellent for like deadheading, for you know cleaning up the garden in the springtime when you just want to cut off all the the old perennial stems and stuff that are there, and they're very sharp. So they're different than head shears because they're pointed and they just look a little different. So shaping shears are wonderful. They have some new things. I think Fiskars is actually doing the thing where they have these new pole pruners kind of thing. I don't know how to
Are those for trees?
Well, they're for trees. You actually can use it. You can change the way the head is. You can kind of manipulate the head for different angles. So you can actually do it on, even on the ground. So in other words, if you didn't want to bend over quite so much, or had a lot of trimming, you can actually sort of move the head around so you can do it that way. Or if you have some small branches that you want to get. And those are super nice. I really like those. Lightweight. And I think they're just called Fiskars pole pruners or something like that. So those are very nice and heavily geared, so it's not, you don't have to do a lot of, you don't have to have a lot of strength in order to use them. Books are always great. I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with books. An ex-extension person who's since retired, Jim Fazell, has a good book on gardening in Illinois, and I think it's just a new edition on that. So it's kind of a nice, kind of all-around good book.
Right.
If she has interest in perennials, there's some great authors. Janet Makunovich, I mentioned before, has a really nice one on taking care of perennials, and also her design book. Alan Armitage is another kind of plant guru. He has a bunch of books on annuals and perennials, and he has a new one on native plants, which is really nice. So that's another good author. If you're looking for somebody with trees and shrubs, probably Michael Durr is probably, that's D-I-R-R. He's probably another good author for trees and shrub kinds of things. He has a really nice book on hardy trees and shrubs, nice picture book as well as good info. So I think some of those things, and a good trowel. I'm back to tools again, but a really good trowel. Not those real cheapy ones. I know. Just get a really good trowel. Those kind of things. But
that
I think that's good.
Wonderful. Christmas is 2 weeks away. I decided I better get busy.
The other thing is, if you have anybody who's willing to give like 2 hours of moving mulch, all of us gardeners, all of us need help, like moving mulch or something like that. So if maybe you have a young person or something that wouldn't mind doing that kind of thing, that is a wonderful gift. I would love that. I hope my husband's listening. Honey, just 2 hours.
Isn't that his job? Moving
right.
The mulch?
Garden slave. Garden
that's
slave.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Well, good luck. Have fun.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for the call. Let us continue. And the next person we'll talk to is in Champaign in line 3.
Yes. Sandy, I appreciated the call on garlic mustard because I had it growing in my yard a couple of years, and at first I wondered what it was because it looked so much like violets.
Mm-hmm.
And I've finally had it identified, and then I got rid of it. But there was another thing growing in my yard, which is, I think you call it a nettle, that sticks to, the little seeds or whatever you call them, they stick to your clothes like. So am I talking about the right? I mean, give me the right name. Anyway, it has a very pretty leaf, and I thought, oh my goodness, I like this. I'm going to let it grow.
And we've all done that.
So finally, I picked up one, and I was going to take it over to the Cooperative Extension to have them identify it. And
Then I found that it was something terribly undesirable, and a lot of those sticky things mm-hmm. got in my car, and they were all over my pant legs. And so is that the right name? I can't remember.
Well, was the stem and everything kind of sticky feeling, as in kind of like stuck on your clothes, I wonder?
The stem?
Did you notice that? Like even the stem? Because what I'm thinking of is bed straw. Because it actually is. And the leaf, I don't know. Do you know what sweet woodruff looks like? The herb, sweet woodruff?
No, I don't.
It's kind of, bed straw kind of looks like sweet woodruff on steroids, where the leaf is bigger and the stem's bigger. But it is these little seeds that stick onto everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's
on
it.
Well, it has a very leafy, it's sort of like, not a fern, but...
That's
a pretty delicate leaf.
Hmm. It's not hemlock, is it? Poison hemlock?
No. Hmm. Well, I probably can look that up and see if I have a record of it somewhere. But anyway, not everything that looks pretty is desirable.
You learned that lesson the hard way, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah, I think that's where the whole identification thing is important. And it's like if it just shows up in your yard, I think that's the time to start thinking, okay, what's going on here? I think that's the time. You're absolutely right. That's the time to start thinking about if it just showed up in my yard, then we could have a problem here. So
yes, and I'm amazed how they... Red.
Yes. And garlic mustard, and that's why weeds are sometimes weeds, because they're very good at spreading.
Yeah.
So certainly, help, if you can go down to the library and get some of the identification books or take it to the extension office or something to get somebody to help you identify it, that makes a big difference.
Well, I hope I got rid of it all.
Yeah.
But I'll find out in the spring.
Yeah, yes. The seeds are the biggest problem on a lot of those. If you can keep them from going to flower, that's probably, and then going to seed, that's just such a big part of it. Because, they found that some of those seeds will live like 30 years in the soil, 50 years in the soil.
Yes, I know.
So that's just amazing.
I've spread a lot of leaves.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of seeds.
Yeah. And unfortunately, those seeds hang out there for a long time. So so if we can just keep them going to flower.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Good lesson for all of us.
Let us go on here. Next caller is line one, and this is someone in Urbana. Hello.
Unfortunately, I think I know the plant that lady was talking about.
Oh, okay.
It's got, the leaves are shaped kind of like strawberries, and it's just got a purplish cast to it, and they grow in a real low rosette starting out, and then... in the, in midsummer, then they send up a stalk with a pretty kind of 5-6 petal, very spiky white. And then they've got those little stick-tidy things all over them. I mean, I have been told that they're good for my woods, so I have them growing in the woods.
Oh, it might be spring avens, A-V-E-N-S.
It looks like it's in that family.
Yeah, it's probably spring avens. And it stays green a long time. Actually, the leaves and stuff stay green a long time. Yeah, that's probably spring avens. And you're right, it does have that little kind of prickly little, could very well be.
Pain in the butt.
Yeah. I think it is native, though. So that's probably why they're talking about it in the woodlands.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice and leave it in the woods and keep it out of my flower bed. Yeah. I had a suggestion, and I'm hoping for enlightenment on the gift-giving idea. I expect there's myriad of gardeners who are like me that have 50 left-hand gloves because they've worn out all of the right-hand gloves.
Yep, I'm with you.
A good pair of gloves is one of the best things
to
have. And I have had some of these fox glove gloves. Have you tried them?
Oh, yeah. I like those.
Yeah.
But I wear them out too soon.
Yeah. Yes, for as expensive as they are.
Yeah. They're for light work.
Yeah, and they never seem to
have
that in the garden or enough of it anyway.
Yeah.
But I wondered
if
people had other suggestions about garden gloves that they like. Because, I probably go through, 3 pair a year. And I hate to be taking gloves on and off and on and off if I'm weeding or if I'm doing something that's a little harder. But I have not found anything that's held up that was flexible and lightweight enough, and that if it was leather, didn't get stiff and icky when it got wet.
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
Anyway, gloves, if you can get them for good gloves for a gift, and if anybody has any more suggestions about other kinds of garden gloves they like, I would love to hear about it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great.
All right.
Great.
Thanks
for the call.
Yeah. I found I've just had to have more than one pair. It just seems like it never. Foxgloves, they're so pretty. The first time I got them, they're all in these pretty colors and stuff, and they look like something you'd wear to, you know, a fancy party or something. They're really pretty. And so I didn't even want to use them because I didn't want to get them dirty. But so they're good for really light kinds of things. But, you know, you start working with rocks or doing a lot of weeding and stuff and they don't hold up. So then I found just the suede ones have been particularly good for me. And they have kind of this washable suede stuff now. Which I really like because you can actually go ahead and wash them and when they get dirty. So I like those. And I also like mud gloves. And there's a bunch of different brands, but they're kind of a regular glove, but then they have plastic fingers and stuff on them. So those are really good, especially this time of year when you're cleaning out the bird bath or whatever, and you don't really want to get your hands wet when you know you're going to. So the mud gloves are really good. There actually is a company. My biggest problem is probably for a lot of folks, is that just the gloves are often too big. And so you really have to get women's gloves. And there's a lot of garden centers are much better now about having small size gloves. But there is a company called Women's Work. And I think you just have to go online and find them, probably womenswork.com. And they specialize in women's gloves. And it's really, and I've found them to be particularly helpful.
Okay. We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580 with Sandy Mason. She's horticulture educator with U of I Extension, Champaign County. She's here every month, always on a Tuesday, to talk about lawn and garden care. So if you have questions, give us a call. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Next is Urbana, line 3. Hello.
Yeah, is that me?
Yes.
I wanted to suggest that the blooming tree that the young lady saw, she didn't know what it was, the first caller in the show, might have been hydrangea. I don't know how they do in the Midwest, but in the East, they grow easily as big as small trees.
Might be, you know, they have the big flowers, and she might have seen them as kind of a pink to blue, and then white. She might have seen that. Certainly a much bigger, you know, head on them, big, huge heads on them. But so, yeah, but that's another good one that blooms late, so you're right.
There aren't all that many roses of Sharon around that I know.
Pardon?
There aren't all that many roses of Sharon.
Well, I think you might be surprised. It's a pretty common shrub, to be honest with you. A lot of times people use them in their shrub borders.
Driving from a car.
Yeah. But that's another good suggestion. But that's definitely one of those things where she needs to look at the flowers. Yeah. And big difference between those two flowers, between rosea and Sharon and hydrangea. Right. But good guess. That could be. See, I told you we needed a prize for this. We have to next month, people have to tune in. We can figure out what the flower is. Thank you very much.
We'll give away garden gloves. Really good ones. Every year I go through at least one pair of those old-fashioned Wells Lamont.
Oh, is that what you use?
Rawhide, the ones with a little tape with the red ball at the end, And they're great. I love them, but they don't like getting wet. And so that's the problem. So, so if I could find a good leather glove, a good tough leather work glove that wouldn't mind getting wet, now that would be a great thing.
Yeah.
I guess there is no such
thing. Yeah, although I've had really good luck with these suede ones, and I don't know if they're truly suede or not. It's sort of like a fake suede or something, and I've had pretty good luck with them.
Yeah, all right. Let's see. Where are we going next? Urbana Line 1. Hello.
Hi. With regard to gloves, it's the garlic mustard person back again. The company that makes mud gloves, or at least that's one of the kinds, and fox gloves, also makes something called the gauntlet, which is goat skin with a tougher suede leather that goes all the way up to your elbows, or at least my elbows. And I use it when I'm going to be going into poison ivy areas or places where there's lots of briars, and it really protects me. I really like them, and I haven't gone through a pair yet. They fit pretty well. They come in different sizes, and you can find them online. In fact, I just ordered some for my son's fiance, who tried them on and said, "You know what? These would be really useful when my cat is really upset and I have to give it."
Cat gloves. And in many uses.
And aside on this company, this is the second time I've ordered from them. And when I first corresponded with them, I discovered that they originated in the town of Gloversville, New York, which was a town in upstate New York where everybody made gloves. back in the early 1800s, and they've been, this company has been there for generations, but now they've moved to Arizona. Anyway, so anyway, I enjoy those. Thanks.
Okay,
oh, they
thanks.
Also have, they have pond gloves, too, you know, for
board game ponds.
Doing water gardening. So they've got waterproof long gloves. So there's a kind of variety of odd sorts of gloves for gardening. And I think their website is www.mudglove.com. Thanks.
Thank you. Now we go to Urbana, line two. Hello.
Hi. I have a number of arborvitae in the yard, and they're the columnar type. I think it's emerald green or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to take care of them, but at some point they've grown more than one top, and they're wider than they're advertised to be, and they're in the way, and they need to be trimmed. And if I literally took out a branch, which starts down pretty low, I mean, I've got several heads or whatever the top is called.
Mm-hmm.
If I took that out, I'd have a great big hole, and it's not going to fill in. It's not going to grow new little branches down there. I'm just going to have a big ugly inside showing. And I'm not sure what to take off or what I should have done or how I can. I've got several of them in the yard, and I don't want that to happen again.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's kind of the nature of the beast with those. I mean, that's just the way some of them grow. You have to actually, when you're purchasing them, if you can find some that have this just one central leader, because otherwise that's just the way they grow. Now, if they're really young, sometimes you can do some trimming on them and they'll go ahead and fill in. And it'll look funny for maybe a year or so, but then they'll sort of fill in. But if these are large ones, then there really isn't a whole lot you can do without also having an opening there.
But if I should have trimmed off one of the, trimmed the top off one, if I had two leaders, I should have snipped one of them so that it branched out instead of going up?
Well, when they're really young, sometimes you can actually remove some of those so that you actually prune it so it's more of a central leader.
Right.
And then they're not as wide, but you have to do it when they're really young. And that's part of the problem. And actually, your best bet is if you can find some and just find them when you purchase them, there already has one central leader. And unfortunately, a lot of them just don't grow that way. The cultivars, that's just the way they grow. And they have a tendency to sort of open up. Now, is it opening up because of the ice and stuff that we had recently, or is it just...
No, it's that I have several leaders, and they're low enough down that the thing is too wide, and it's kind of going past the planned space that I had for it. If it were going sideways instead of towards the driveway, I wouldn't mind so much because it would fill in, but now it's going, I can't open the car door without smashing into it. So something needs to go, and if I take it out, I'm just going to have a big, not very pretty hole there, which I don't want. I don't want to cut the whole thing out, but it's occurred to me that I don't even want it, and I'd start all over again.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to tell you, because once they get to a certain size, it's really hard. I actually had one that kind of cracked one time, and I had to take a fairly large limb off. And right now, this has probably been 3 years now, and it's kind of started to sort of fill in, but it still looks funny on that one side. So it's just kind of the way they grow, and unfortunately, once they get to a certain size, it's kind of hard. Now, if it's toward the back, sometimes you can get away with that, but... If it's an area you're going to look at all the time, you're probably not going to be very happy with it.
Okay.
You could try some judicious pruning, just trying to take some of the branches. But the trouble is they always have this kind of one central, you know, everything's off of this one branch, you know, on that one side. And so it's really hard to do a whole lot of pruning without it just opening up too much.
All right. Well,
so,
I'll live with it.
Yeah, either that. Yeah. I don't know. Or you could just try and cut it off and then just live with the fact that it's kind of open for a while and see how much it fills in.
Can I pull the branches and kind of put a twine or something around them and make them go somewhere but they hadn't planned on going?
Well, I wouldn't use twine. Never use twine around them because that'll just girdle them. You certainly could use something maybe that has sometimes with just putting a spreader in between branches. And they actually make spreaders, and I don't know if this makes sense, but it's actually just a piece of plastic or wood or whatever, and you actually put it in between branches to have them open up more. That's one way to do it. Or if you're actually going to try to bring them back together again, you'd have to use some kind of wide material.
Right. Okay. I might do something. I guess I'll just
may want to play with it and yeah. and then if you don't like it, you're at least then you can make a decision. But who knows?
At least I tried.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Good
I'll
luck.
Try to get at least one more caller here. The next in line is in Downs, line number 4. Hello.
Hello. I would like to recommend gardening classes as a Christmas gift. The Master Gardeners in McLean County have a class every second Thursday at the Extension office. And I think it's a really good, really unique gift. I don't know whether you do them in Champaign or not.
Sure. I think anytime, any of the educational programs, we certainly have our Garden Day coming up and those kind of things. So certainly any of those types of things. You might, like a gift certificate or something?
Yeah.
So somebody could,
yeah, we
could
have
actually
gift certificates and we have a special deal.
Great.
We do them at $10 a piece, but if you buy 3, you can get them for $15.
Oh.
Or 6 of them for $25.
Sure.
So
sure.
It's really a good deal. And our Home Lawn and Garden Day, I'm going to get a plug in, is the week after yours in McLean County.
Okay. So that'd be like the 10th or something
10th,
like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So thank you.
That's great. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, that time of year, there's all kinds of things going on. So people can
all right
learn.
See, we do one more quick on a cell phone here. Line 3. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'll make this quick. Calling in regard to the gloves, and somebody's already mentioned goatskin gloves. And then I'm a farmer, not a gardener, and I like them a lot. They're not as resistant to abrasion as maybe a heavier leather glove, but they work very well when you're rooting around in the dirt. They do get stiff, but they soften up again with use. So I like them a lot. Shepler's is a good source, and I've seen them in Sam's Club.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Great. Thanks.
All right. People can try that. Well, at that, we're going to have to finish up for this time around with the promise that Sandy will be back again next month. And in the meantime, look for the program Illinois Gardener on our companion station, WYLL-TV, Thursday nights at 7. Diane Nolan is host. It's a live show. And there again, it's an opportunity, as with this show, to call in with questions and talk with various people who are involved in the university and involved in various plant places and landscaping firms and businesses around central Illinois where they work with plants. Thursday nights, WYLL-TV, 7 o'clock, and then Sandy will be back here next month, and we'll be doing this again. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
Sandy Mason, she's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County.